All right, this morning we're going to be in the book of Acts one more time. At least one more time. We'll see how it goes. And chapter 1, and as Lauren brought that lesson this morning, I enjoyed it tremendously, that message, and I took several notes down that that I might refer to some. In the Acts chapter 1, and we're going to look this morning at a few more of the verses 4 through 14, and Greg read 7 through 14, but I'd like to read, starting with verse 4, down just a few verses to through verse 8. It says, "And being assembled with them," speaking of the Lord, "that he commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth." There's a couple things that I would like to just make comment on to start with. And in verse 4, when the Lord says, "Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And then up here where the Lord says in verse 7, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." And in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the othermost part of the earth." And that part is verse 8 is very important to the rest of the book of Acts and to all the books as Lauren was in Romans and several other places, Ezekiel. But the thrust or the import they're going to see of all the things that take place in the book of Acts, and it's a wonderful book with many things taking place, outward things. And as a young person, I knew a lot of the words of that at one time, and the stories and the things, but not much of the true truth of it. But here in verse 8, when it says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." And that's, it says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and this is what is going to take place. They were to go out, and they were to be, as they were told before, they were going to be witnesses. They were going to go out and preach the gospel everywhere. They were sent to everywhere, the gospel to be preached. The Holy Ghost was going to, by their preaching, be witnesses, as he says, of me. The witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Brother Lauren pointed out this morning. That's the crux of the matter, is how we stand and who we stand in, who we have hope in for our salvation. And it's the Lord himself. And that is the working that the Holy Spirit has done. And not just in the book of Acts with those things that we'll see, but in the Gospels, the people that the Lord dealt with and that became believers by the Spirit working in them. In the book of Hebrews, we have quite a list of those that talks about by faith and those things that they did or was accounted to them for righteousness, their belief that the Spirit caused them to have in the Lord himself. And that was always the thing. Those those things that Lauren talked about that were done, that the Lord has done for his people in salvation, the Spirit witnesses to his people those things. And as that's the purpose of any preaching or teaching of God's word, is to put the spotlight on our Lord himself and what the scriptures say about him. Of all that we will yet see in the book of Acts, all of the working of the Holy Ghost is to point out and to our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, as all scripture is God-breathed, the whole of it is witness to Christ. All of the working in the preaching of the gospel is to point the one and only one in whom we may have salvation, the only name by whom we must be saved, our Lord himself. In Ezekiel, that talks about his holy name. For his holy name's sake, the Spirit would do those things in his people and does those things and reveals himself and calls his sheep in. All the things the Holy Ghost does, as referred to here in Acts, shows the great need because of sin and shows the one who indeed has accomplished those things. As he said himself, when he said it's finished, it meant it was finished. All those things that he was sent to do on behalf of his people for the redemption of their souls, he accomplished. It was done. No more things needed to be done to do that. And that's what the Spirit witnesses of. Now, we have a lot of things that witness of the Spirit is to us about, as in through the book of Romans and others, what the nature of man is like, what we are like, that is revealed to his people by his Spirit. It's not just the reading of the words that cause us to believe that, but his Spirit, by his Spirit. He commanded again for them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, ye have heard of me. And turn to Luke chapter 24, two places. In Luke chapter 24, and one in, we'll look at in John. But Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 44. Luke 24, verse 44. The Lord said unto them, these are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And indeed, power that they were given in preaching the gospel, in miracles that they did, and things that the Spirit did, that we see God's power did in men that they were preached to, and gave them that boldness and that to do that. And promise, it said, of my Father, that the power from on high to do those things and to be that. And indeed, without the Spirit, men can read and men can teach words, but only by the Spirit does that power work that in men's hearts and put that to that needful purpose of salvation in his people. And John, one spot in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and I had to kind of pare it down to the a few verses, because a lot of this in the book of John is our Lord himself speaking, and it's hard to do that. But in John chapter 14, starting with verse 15 through 18, and it says, if you love me, verse 15, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So in these words here, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter is called, the Holy Spirit, will dwell in them and dwells in his people. And as it says, world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. And unless the Spirit reveals him, we cannot see him. And that's going to be those things that take place through the book of Acts, indeed all of Scripture, all those things that we see, the working of the Holy Spirit had to have a hand in, or there was no seeing, there was no revealing to them. About verse in back in Acts chapter 1 again. Just two thoughts on he says, verse 7. They asked him about restoring the kingdom. They'd been asked him before, of course. And verse 7, he says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And it kind of seems like a two-verse aside almost, because where we're headed here, this kind of seems like he's speaking of the Spirit coming to give them power and preaching and the different things that take place. And then they say, now when are we going to restore the kingdom? And verse, let's look at in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Starting with verse 34. And I like particularly taking passages that the Lord himself is telling them or teaching them or showing them various things, because we cannot have a better testimony and testifying of those things than by our Lord's himself's words. It's verse 34, it says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And they ask him about this, how will they know when the end times come and when the last time is? And he goes into that quite a bit there about that, but until all these things be fulfilled. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and of hour, no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away. And here, this part of it, it says, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He's saying when the last times come, there's not going to be, the headline news the night before is not going to tell it. And somebody in California at a church or wherever that says the end of the world is going to be on, you know, December 39th or whatever it might be, don't listen to it. It's not, that's not true. It's just not true. And then in Mark 13, and it's another recounting of this account. And verse 32 of Mark 13, it says, again, recounting the things they'd asked him before about the end of the times, and he says, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, therefore, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." And so that does, that fits perfectly with where they're going in the preaching of the gospel of where they go, and the Spirit give them power to do those things. That, as he says, watch and be faithful ministers of that gospel that we hold in our hands. And as I said, I like particularly reading of those texts of the Lord Himself. But all the text we have is from the Lord Himself by the Spirit. None is, just because they're black letters doesn't mean we can discount them. They're all of God's Spirit working in those men that had him put them down. Verse 8 again, in chapter 1, it says, "You shall be witnesses unto me." There was not going to be any banners up on the tents if they got meetings and stuff going that proclaimed who the man was that's going to be doing the speaking. They were not promoting themselves. They had one thing to do, and the Holy Spirit will see that some things that people have taken and said, "Well, that must be this," but we have to remember what He said and what we know, what Scripture's purpose is, and who it is of. And if it seems to be going aside, and in the next few chapters, there's some things that people have come to blows over about what they say it says and doesn't say. And I say that starting out, as he talks here, the Holy Ghost is going to give these and others power to witness him, of him. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, is witnesses of our Lord himself. It reveals him. In the book of Acts, over another place, in chapter 10 of Acts, a place that's very plain in what it says to us, in Acts 10, starting with verse 36. This is Peter preaching. It says, "The word of God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it's he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And so in this part here, that they're witnesses of those things he did, that God raised up, and talks about God raising him up from the dead and did those things that were needful on the cross for his people. But here it says, and here, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. All the old scripture that they had up to the time of Matthew, the writing of Matthew and on, they did not have. They had the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, and as we've seen in Leviticus and other places that we discounted as law and kind of old hat stuff, speaks of our Lord himself, a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and those things he has done, all those different sacrifices we've looked at over time, speaking of him, speaking of those things that were done, not things that they had to do. There were those that understood even in that day, those sacrifices were pointing to the one who had, who their hope and their confidence and their belief and faith was in, the Lord himself, that the true sacrifice. Those prophets and witnesses, they were the ones that, they had witness of him. They had witness of him. We have in Acts chapter 8, just touching on just a couple of things in Acts as we go, but Acts chapter 8, and starting with verse 29, and remember, this is Philip, and the angel told him what he's going to do, and he's on his way, transported to meet with a man. And he was reading Isaiah, the man in the chariot, in verse 29. And it says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And it goes on, and he baptizes the man. But as it said, he opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus and Isaiah. And it could have been Leviticus he was looking at, or any other passage. And Philip could have started, well, let me tell you about this. And he did indeed. And by the Spirit, he brought him to that man. And by the Spirit, that power of the gospel, as he opened his eyes to that, those are things. Every time the gospel is preached and the Spirit uses that and touches people and opens their eyes and regenerates them, as he talked to Nicodemus about being born again, the Spirit must do that. It's not, we can't, I wish we could teach it into ourselves. I wish we could just read these things and have them so, but the Spirit makes the scripture alive and makes it real to his people and indeed regenerates his people. And then in Romans chapter 1, again, this is one of the books you could just kind of put in parentheses as a note to wherever you are, just about. Romans chapter 1, the first few verses. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye also the called of Jesus Christ to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace and peace from our God and our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, the gospel that was promised by the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that is, as has been said many times, whenever the Word is opened, that's where we need to get to. And hopefully sooner than later in a message or lesson, that He is the one that the light is shined on. In 1 Corinthians, we're not going to go to that. I'm going to refer to a couple of different places. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the Spirit works in His people various gifts. And there was a time they thought, you know, my gift's better than yours, or yours is better than mine, or those things. There are some issues to deal with that Paul dealt with in 1 Corinthians. These gifts are given for the profit gain of the church, the good of the church, all to build up the church in Christ. The gifts that are given to God's people, whatever gifts they are, and there's a list of them that we know of, preaching and teaching and various, whatever the gift may be that God gives to each of His people in whatever form and whatever amount, it's for the building up of the church and for the profit and edifying. Talks several places in the Scripture, it talks about gathered together for the edification of the brethren and for each other. And that edification only comes by what is preached and taught and sung about and thought about, and that is our Lord Himself. And that's the important and the purpose of those gifts, is to the church is made up of all the body, as it's talked about in different places. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I am going to read a spot. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, and of the 12, after that He was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." It goes on about that, but here, that was delivered of the Old Testament, the gospel was there, and here it speaks about the gospel that was preached was how Christ died according for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and how He rose, buried, and rose again the third day according to our Scriptures, of the Scriptures. Those things that were taught are not just Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and a few others didn't make up stuff and come along with something. They built upon those truths of the gospel that they had of old. It brought a lot of light. It came to be. The book of Hebrews makes an awful lot of light shine on those things that the Old Testament taught. Nonetheless, the Spirit used what they those scriptures that he gave them for that purpose, to reveal the Lord to them and to bring them into the fold and to bring those sheep in. And indeed, that's what it has done at all times. The brethren that we meet in heaven, if we gather and discuss things, the same gospel that they believe, we believe. And then two places in the book of Revelation. You could read a lot of Revelation, but turn to the book of first chapter of Revelation. This, the old Bible I had, I liked it a lot, and there's a lot of notes in it and things, but the title of this and that one says the revelation of St. John the Divine. In this one here, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is correct, and which it is indeed. That revelation, those things, the words written were given to John, but it wasn't revealing John. It was revealing our Lord himself. And in the first chapter, I'd like to read the first 9 verses. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 1, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Unto John to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. In verse 9 it says, I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this opening part here not only tells us what this book is about, that who this book is about, it's revealing our Lord and Savior, but it's talking about the scriptures that before that did the same, that revealed our Lord and Savior. And from this here, as in the book of Acts, whatever comes after this, we need to keep these things in mind that are in the opening to this letter here that is given by God to John, that this is a revelation of our Lord. Things may look strange in there, and it may be like we see in some of the other places when the prophet was asked, what do these things mean? And he says, only you know, Lord. If you don't tell us what they mean, we don't know. There's a goodly bit in the book of Revelation that are spiritual things that are hard to understand. If Lord reveals them to us a little at a time, that's great. That's wonderful. But they aren't. It's not speaking about horses and wars and those type of things. It's revealing those things about our Lord. And that those are the same things that in the book of Acts that they are told that this is what's going to happen. This is what you are going to do. This is what the purpose is. And it's not the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost is talked about a lot and mentioned a lot in the book of Acts. But the Holy Ghost is not just testifying of himself and bringing forth himself. He's doing that marvelous work that shows forth the Lord to his people to the glory of God the Father and to our good. And then one closing spot in Revelation chapter 22, just 2 verses. Revelation chapter 22, just two verses. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And it goes on just a little bit here, but primarily here, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And the Lord himself said, behold, I come quickly. And in all of scriptures, the same holds true. We need to pray God by his Spirit, show us the Lord and what is saying about him and to us of importance and what we need to see and to know. And only by his Spirit are these things revealed. But the book of Acts is misunderstood a lot. There's a lot taken from it that's not understood correctly, that people take it on their own. And the book of Revelation surely has been made into a real mockery almost of what God's scripture is. And in these things, the book of Acts and the book of Romans, wherever we look, the same Spirit is showing the same one to us, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we stand, in whom we must stand. Amen. And with that, Brother Nathan, would you lead us in a closing hymn?